grows, Israel weakens. That's again why there's almost has to be, in some people's idea, some sort of military action. The talk in Washington is, if you can't fix it, break it. If you can't control Lebanon, if you can't control around the Middle East and their resources, break it. Go back. Burn it, and we'll start again, and we'll take our chances picking up the pieces. And that's a very dangerous attitude.
Mr. Ram, thanks very much for joining us there from Beirut, Lebanon.
Hello, and welcome back to Press TV's rolling coverage of the 31st anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. If you've been with us, we've been covering all aspects of this revolution with our guests. We're going to expand more on the impact of this revolution and its significance. Crossing on over now to London, Amir DiMartino joins us. He's a university lecturer in Islamic studies. Amir DiMartino, many thanks for joining us. Let's talk about internationally the impact that this revolution has had in countries around the world. I mean, it was immense. In the non-Muslim world, it actually changed the definition of Islam, but why don't you tell us your take?
Well, surely, first of all, I would like to congratulate all the Iranian nation for this event, which puts the Iranian people as an Islamic nation on the firm in the history of Islam. The impact of the Islamic Revolution was felt at a time when Islam was marginalized all across the world. It had lost its driving forces, it had lost its ideological forces, and with the Islamic Revolution, again, Islam comes on the national, on international scene, showing that there is a possibility to offer a third way. Of course, it came up in 1979 when you had primarily two strong hegemonic powers, the Russians at the time and, of course, the Americans. And yet, those who were looking at an alternative were enough of the capitalist indoctrination and on the other side of the communist system. They were looking for things, and I know that in many European countries you also had people not Muslim which were interested and were exploring this new phenomenon, a phenomenon which was primarily coming out as religious but also as strongly political, who had an agenda which was no East, no West, if you remember the slogan of the revolution, and which was proposing an alternative in a world which was moving away from religious value, from spirituality. And so it worked, and it provided a number of alternatives in the political field and into the spiritual field. And I think the reawakening of religious movement in general can also be traced in certain respect to the Islamic Revolution. But the revival in the Islamic world, obviously, it has been an effect, a ripple effect of the Islamic Revolution in 31 years ago.
Many thanks. I'm going to ask you to please stay with us because we also have Franklin Lamb, political analyst from Beirut, who is kind enough to still be with us. Franklin Lamb, we just heard Amir DiMartino talk about the impact and of the Islamic Revolution on countries, but I want more specifically how it has changed the geopolitics of the region. You mentioned Lebanon, but overall, if you can give us more examples.
Well, I don't think it's an overstatement to say in this period of history will be recorded that the Islamic Revolution undid the colonial enterprise known as Israel. I think that the Iranian-inspired culture and era of resistance is resonating deeply and broadly in this region, and there's a direct correlation between this and the decline and eventually the removal of the occupation of Palestine. And if that proves to be true, which I believe that the CIA, from its commentary, believes that is going to be true, That's an enormous achievement for all mankind, because there is no greater evil today in this region for the past 62 years than has been that of the Zionist occupation and continuing brutal occupation of Palestine. The only challenge to that occupation is the culture resistance that came out of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. And that continues to roll, it continues to deepen and broaden, and I think, personally, in the region, that that may be the paramount accomplishment of the Iranian people by rejecting the Shah and the control of the Western powers.
And just quickly, since I was listening to you having the conversation with Homolezki, and you mentioned how the United States is being pressured, and Obama is trying to not succumb into going to war with Iran. But on the other hand, we had the U.S. Pentagon intelligence chief coming out stating that Iran is not after weapons. Nothing shows that. And even the ex-Israeli army general who has stated, where's the proof, was basically his bottom line. And that Israel is doing this out of just basically trying to generate money through their army in terms of weapons and equipment, etc. So there's contradiction there. How is it that they're aware of this, but yet they're, tooting the horns of war?
Yes. Well, you know, like many, I believe firmly that in America, we in the public cannot blame Zionism and Israel for all of our problems and the fact that we've been willing to give them our foreign policy and to allow them to occupy our Congress as surely as they occupy the Arabs' land. So the responsibility is with the American people. And I personally believe, I'm not willing to give up on Obama. I think he may have the toughness to resist all this enormous pressure and even sacrifice a second term to stop war. He's no believer in these wars. His whole background says that. He's not convincing the world and even the American people that that's true. But I happen to think that he's tougher, and I believe that he will, to the best of his ability, resist the drumbeat for war. And it's for that reason that I frankly don't believe that the Americans will attack Iran. I think in the end of it, he might sacrifice his career for it, but I don't think he's willing to commit a near suicidal act because he has, you know, too much insight, I think. And I realize that's a tough proposition to defend, but that's my personal opinion, that in spite of all this pressure, we're not going to see an American attack on Iran.
Okay. Amir DiMartino, you're a university lecturer in Islamic studies, and given that, you see the students in terms of how, well, what knowledge they have of the Islamic Revolution. As time has gone by, do you think that the ideologies behind the Islamic Revolution that was put forward by the late Imam is actually understood and embraced more by your students?
Well, the students, like anybody else in the West, has to face with a massive propaganda machine and massive academia, which is primarily against, it's not even against, fails to understand the significance, it fails to understand where it comes from, because of what the West is, primarily a religious revolution, a revolution which was inspired by the divine principle. It's unheard of in this, even 30 years ago, because of, we have had a separation in the West from religious and politics since the Renaissance, when Christianity was pushed aside by secular forces. And so the idea that it's still foreign, and we have had some inroad, and of course channels like this one, which are on international scene, are helping a lot. But overall, I still see a lot of misunderstanding on what what Islamic Revolution was all about, and how we can sort of push it forward. I mean, the culture of resistance that your previous guest spoke about is exactly what the Islamic Revolution now represents. And even those who are not students, you have to have an open heart, and you have to have be intellectually partial. Otherwise, you will fail to see. And unfortunately, not university are a place also where a lot of intellectual influence and professors tend to play their part. It's not a free as it's supposed to be. But I'm optimistic now that, you know, as we, and of course,